Welcome to Millington Baptist Church. The message you are about to hear was delivered at Millington by Dr. Peter Pendell.
Times of national celebration bring tremendous emotion forward in me, and that's maybe related to my generation, I don't know. Maybe it's related to being in the service or people I know who are serving us in different places around the world. So that's a very dear part of my life. But I'm also a Christian. And in fact, I'm told in the Bible that I'm a citizen of two great kingdoms. One is the kingdom of man, and with all its flaws, and the other one is the kingdom of heaven. And that somehow I need to live in one foot planted in each kingdom with my ultimate loyalty to the kingdom of heaven, but yet I need to somehow work that out in terms of living in this world as well, and in this country as well. Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. So every one of us, if we're thinking clearly, is caught in this place of something like tension. Who do I obey at this point? And if there's conflict, then I know where I have to go, but that's not always easy. And sometimes, it seems to me, it's like walking on a tightrope or on a balance beam as a gymnast. And it's easy to fall off to one side or the other. Either go down to the side where there's an unbridled patriotism that keeps me from looking at my nation and its flaws and failures, or on the other hand, withdrawing completely from the affairs of the world. Does God care who's in the White House? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Does God care who's in our leadership as senators and congresspeople? Yeah, no doubt about that. Does God care that we as a nation seem to be drifting further and further away from the foundation principles that made us strong for so many years and that we're agreed upon, at least to some extent, by those who founded our country, values that are common to both Judaism and Christianity, and in fact to other world religions, I don't doubt, but especially Judaism and Christianity. Yeah. That there is a God who gives life and to whom we will answer for how we live it. That the value of human life is assigned by God and not determined by men and women. One of those foundation principles, one of those things that were important to us in the beginning. Not as much right now. That the principles of justice and mercy and humility are to be the standards for every generation. That the poor and disenfranchised and powerless people are to be lifted up by the rest of us who can make a difference. That honesty and integrity are to be the hallmark of those who lead us and of those of us who follow. Those are bedrock for our country. And though we haven't lived them out consistently at all times, I understand that. We have great failures even now. I know that. I understand that. I read history and I understand the failures, yet that's a part of what our nation is founded upon. And as we move away from that, then we move into a tragic zone of disobedience to God, and the results are really tragic. In all honesty, sometimes I feel helpless. Maybe you do too, as you see things drift. I've been listening on the radio to what's going on in the Senate in New York State, and I say to myself, you've got to be kidding. And nobody seems to be able to make any difference with it in terms of what's going on between the parties in the Senate in New York State. And that's just a small picture of much of what goes on, unfortunately, in so many other places. You feel helpless, and then that feeling is amplified by, do I have the energy to even invest in what I know I could do? And the problem intensifies in terms of taking any kind of action whatsoever. Well, honestly, friends, on this 4th of July weekend, I have to say to you, that's not good enough. That's just not good enough. That's not good enough for me as a Christian man. It's not good enough for me as an American who is a Christian, who is called to live in these two kingdoms. You say, but what can we do? I mean, what can we do? As we see a nation that drifts away further and further along the line. Let me give you the most important answer this morning. And I don't mean this because this is what you expect me to say. I mean this because God says this. What can we do? We can pray. We really can. We can pray. Oh, I know, in all my busyness, I forget. Oh, yeah, I can pray. You say, we've done that. It hasn't made any difference. We're still drifting. I understand that's the hard part. But the answer still comes back. Number one, we can pray. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us today in the 21st century. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, I understand praying is not the only thing we can do. I understand there are other things we can do. I agree completely. Remember when Paul writes those words in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, he lives in a different time than ours. I mean, there were no fall elections. There was no primary in June. There was nothing like that where you had a chance to choose your president or your proconsul or your emperor or Caesar or anything like that. In fact, that's like many of the places around the world that we see today. And haven't we just seen it? And Jeff has just returned from Iran, and he's told us what it's like there. And the choices are not plentiful. And somebody is in control, and you're really not sure that what they want to have happen is what's good for everybody there or for everybody around the world. We live in a time and a place of unparalleled freedom. And again, I know it's not perfect. I understand that. But you look at the last election, and you look at the dimensions of the administrations that changed in such radical proportions, not saying good or bad about either one of them, but just look at the size of the change that took place. And you recognize that that took place without any bloodshed. There was no overthrow of governments. Nobody died in the process. And those incredible changes took place by God's grace. And you and I have the ability to speak our peace. We have the ability to stand up and say, I don't like that. I don't think that's right. We have the freedom to vote. We have the freedom to run for office. We have the freedom to collect another group of people. We can write to the paper. We can do all those things that in many lands around the country, if you do it, you may hear a knock on the door at night. And then that'll be it for you and your family. But even when I say that, even when I say that prayer is not the only thing we can do, I have to go back to the scriptures and I say, it is the first thing, friends. It is the most important thing. It is the key thing that we have to do, or we can't do any of the rest and expect anything to happen. In fact, it is the one thing that Paul names here, and even that may be surprising because the Roman government that he talks about in his day is not forgiving and kind and merciful, and it doesn't bring justice to all people equally. He's living in a very different world than the world that we're living in, and yet he comes to this idea that we can pray. And yeah, there was a window of good treatment for the Christians in the first century. Understand, they had the favor of the people, it says in the book of Acts, and they had that in many other countries. And the reason why they had it was because they appeared at first to be more tolerant than the Jews from which they came. The Jews had such a narrow definition that they immediately brought persecution upon themselves. But the Christians seemed to be more able to live in the midst of the diverse world in which they were finding themselves. Of course, that changed rapidly because when Rome required that every citizen go to the temple of Caesar and bring a pinch of salt to dedicate himself or herself to the Caesar's God, then the Christians had to say, I can't do that. And immediately the bars began to descend upon them. And the persecution was well known until that once that started. A pledge to Caesar was one step they couldn't take. But even in that time and place, Paul says, first thing is to pray. Is to pray. If it was to pray in the first century, surely it is to pray in the 21st century. And it hasn't changed. Well, what do we pray for? Well, go back to the text and find out what we pray for. One of the things we pray for from 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, is we pray for the freedom to pursue our faith. In fact, if you're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, you can see it there on the screen, or you can read it yourself. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. And then see what he says. And that means that this may result, as a result of our praying, that we may live peaceful and godly, quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, you have to know that the forces in our world are seeking to silence Christians and seeking to shut down the freedom to pursue our faith. And they range all the way from Al-Qaeda, which, when we talk to somebody in the Middle East, that registers very quickly for them. For us, it seems like it's so far away, especially since nothing has happened on our home turf since 2001. So it seems like it's an awfully far problem, far away, but it's not. Something more immediate that wants to shut down our ability to speak clearly of our convictions, in my mind, is the very militant, gay and lesbian movement. Not all gay and lesbian people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a militant movement that would shut us down in terms of what we're free to say, would shut me down in terms of what I'm free to say here in this place. You know, you've heard about it, the homophobic language and the hate speech and those kinds of things. If somehow that can be classified as hate speech, anything that would say that homosexual or lesbian lifestyle is not normal, then you and I are going to see some very difficult times. And you know as well as I do that there's a movement to make that happen. As I say, it's not all gay people. It's not all lesbian people. I understand that. But there is a movement. And the evangelical church has to be in the crosshairs of men and women who want to make that happen, because we're the only ones who are left who would say, well, no, I shouldn't say that. We're one of the loudest groups that says, this is not what God will endorse. Gay and a lesbian lifestyle, wherever that comes from. And you can debate about that all day, but you still come down to this bottom line. No, God does not endorse man and man and woman in a committed relationship. So we end up having to say that. If it can be shut down, can it? I don't know. Is it unlikely? Probably. Is it impossible? No. No. Don't kid yourself. It's not impossible. And it's a very real threat. So when you pray for the president, and I trust that you'll pray for the president, when you pray for the president, then pray that somehow he might see the distinction so that whatever he proposes and whatever he pushes, and those who are aligned with him, whatever they accept, whatever they push, they will maintain this freedom to pursue our faith. Vital, according to Paul. And then the second piece of what you might pray for when you pray for your senator or when you pray for your town officials is the freedom to promote our faith. It's not only for us personally to pursue it, but it's for us to promote it. And it is for us to promote it with our children. It is for us to promote it any place. In fact, that goes immediately after what Paul says in verses 1 and 2. In verse 3 and 4, he says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's good to live in a land where biblical values guide the decisions of those who make decisions that affect all of us. And we live in that kind of a land. And though not everybody in our past agreed with all the details that you and I would attach to them, they did agree with the basic values. And people like Thomas Jefferson, who is spoken of as a deist, he still agreed with the basic values that came out of the scriptures. Maybe not personal faith, but the basic values. And so we've been protected in that way. But that is not enough that I be protected in terms of my own personal faith. I have to have the freedom to promote my faith with other people. I need to be able to talk to my neighbor about Jesus Christ. I need to be able to be open about my evangelism. And what God wants is for what? All men to be saved. Men wherever they come from. So when I pray for my leaders, somehow I have to include in my prayers not only that I might be able to pursue my faith, but that somehow I might be able to promote my faith and talk to others about Jesus Christ. Interesting that we have folks coming from the Middle East who are here today speaking to us from the platform, because in many of the countries in the Middle East, you're not free to do that. You can pursue your own faith, but you can't promote it through evangelism. Many of the countries around the world, you can pursue your own faith, if you're allowed to even do that, but you can't promote it. You can't share it with other people. But those are connected. God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's a connection that flows from verse 1 through verse 4 of this passage. And that connection is that we pray for peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, so that we will be free to pursue our own faith. And our own faith includes promoting faith with other people. So somehow, when you pray, and you do pray for our president, don't you? Please do. We go through different administrations, and I'm aligned with some more than others. And I'm not telling you what I agree with or disagree with, except some particular areas that I talk about in terms of the present administration, because I don't want this to be about them and us. I want this to be about us. We have to be together on this thing. And the place where we can be together is on our knees before God, praying for men and women that we agree with and that we don't agree with. Here's what happens to me. What happens to me is that when there's an administration in Washington that I agree with, I am all thanks to God for all the way that he's taken care of us and the good things that he's doing so that we can have freedom in our land. When there's an administration in Washington, and there have been administrations in Washington, which I'm basically in disagreement with over many, many different items, it's not prayer, it's complaints. And I talk to other people about what I don't like instead of to God about what I need, what we need as Americans. What we need is the freedom to pursue our faith so that we can freely meet together. We can freely get the information that we need. We can, secondly, promote our faith. Talk to others about Jesus Christ. If you will center around those things, you will come around somebody like Barack Obama, or our governor, or our senator, or anybody else, and will say, oh God, this is what really matters. It matters to you. Paul told us from Scripture, it matters to you. So I'm coming to you now, Lord, not to talk about what I don't like, but I'm coming to you now, Lord, to talk about what you say is important. And these things are important. So I will take the first step. Yes, I may run for office. Yes, I may go vote. Yes, I will go vote. Yes, I will speak to others in a political sense. Yes, I'll do all those things. But God, I will not do those things before my knees hit the floor on a regular basis. And I pray. Because, first of all, pray. Pray. Let's pray together, please. So many people have given their lives, Lord, that we might have the freedoms of which we boast today. The freedoms that we enjoy so much today, Lord. The freedoms that bring tears to our eyes because we recognize that there are people around the world who know nothing of those freedoms. They don't even come up in the discussions of the day because they're so remote from their experience and from what's allowed to be spoken of in their nation. We live in a dangerous world, Lord, where men and women who want to limit freedom desire to spread their control in different places around the world. I think, God, of nations that are led by what appear, from everything we can see, madmen. Men who are simply seeking to gain power and control with very little understanding of what's going on in the rest of the world. So we pray today, Lord. We know that our president has decisions and ideas that are in contrast many times to the kinds of things that we desire. But we would not get caught up with them all the time, Lord. We want to pray for him. We want to pray for him and for his wife. We want to pray, God, that in the quietness of their home, whenever it gets to be quiet, and that's probably seldom, that there would be some recognition, God, increasingly of your work in their lives and what you want to do through them in these days. And the powerful position that they hold, Lord, not only in an official sense, but in an unofficial sense, so that they can help to return our country to its founding principles. God, would you touch their hearts and their lives? Would you remind them of how important it is that men and women have the freedom to approach their God, the freedom to not worry about their faith and whether or not it's acceptable to those who are in government circles, or in any other circles for that matter. Would you give them, Lord, the understanding of our history that would lead them to conclude that this is probably the key freedom, though others support it, that we might live in a nation of freedom in the days ahead, not only for ourselves, but also for our children and for those that we have contact with beyond this. Lord, we pray for our nation. We know these are perilous times. We ask our God that by your Holy Spirit, you might work and have your way, that Jesus Christ would have his way in the midst of our country. Speak to us, Lord, speak to our children. Move us to walk with you. We pray in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.